continuing in Tefillas Kelim over here. So I keep thinking we're going to get to Electric Kelim. We're still probably not going to get to that today because there's still other stuff we want to get to in Sivchas and Tes first, which is what we're going to do today, essentially. Sivchas and Tes relates to the ownership of the Kli. And we already learned a little bit of Sivchas. I mean, a lot of it, but we're going to go back to it. We discussed a little bit about the ownership, but now let's delve a little bit deeper. So Shulchan Aruch tells us something that's a little bit odd. Right, Hashava lo socher kli me'ovid chavim ein otan tvila. Aval im Yisrael kano me'ovid chavim b'shilu lechaver otan tvila shekvar nischayv yad rishon. When I buy a kli, it's chayv in tvila. Why is it chayv in tvila? Because it came from Tumas Ha'akum to Kedushas Yisrael or whatever. When I borrow a kli, it does not require tvila. When I borrow a kli from the Nachri, I would have thought intuitively that it's more shakua b'tumas Ha'Nachri when he's still the owner of it. But Aval Pikein, that's the halacha. And that's why if you're at a hotel and you order a soda or something like that, you order a Diet Coke and it comes in a glass, you're allowed to use that glass. It's not a problem that the Kli isn't Tovel because the Nachri owns the glass and you're just borrowing the Kli from the Nachri. There's no problem with borrowing a Kli from a Nachri. So while it may not be intuitive, it's clear that that's the halacha. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Misha Omer, that if you buy, let's say, a pocket knife to cut cloth with, to cut wood or to do your Boy Scout stuff, to cut ropes or whatever it is that Boy Scouts do, that doesn't require tefillah. But what if I use my pocket knife to cut a piece of cake, to cut a fruit, something like that? So one would imagine that it's not a clay suda. It should be fine because it's not really a clay suda. I'm using a non-clay suda for a temporary purpose. However, the Ramah writes, Aval rishon also lishtamish po litzorch suda afilu derech arai below tefillah. Right, so we saw this halacha. I bought a knife to cut cloth, and that's what I use it for. I use this knife to cut cloth. I don't use this knife for food. But one time, I want to use the knife for food. One time, I want to cut myself an apple or something with the knife. I need to tovel it. Even derech harai, I'm not allowed to use it without toveling it. And it sounds that there's no clear cholik on the Ramah. Right, the Ramah just says this halacha. The Shach and Taz on the spot don't really have a clear statement against the Rama. However, if you look in Pischei Tshuva and Sivkat and Vav, which I think we've mentioned already, he quotes a Shav Yaakov in Simon Lamed Aleph, where he writes that Kelim hanikboim betanur velokin cham shabo lushos isos hapas shetzide lomer she'ein sarich tvila klal afim heim shal matchos. Meaning, everything is based on Rav Tashmisho. If you use the Kli for Klei Suda Alpirov, then it's a Klei Suda. If you don't use it for Klei Suda Alpirov, it's not a Klei Suda. So it seems that Shav Yaakov is going against Ramah. That Ramah says Rav Tashmisho is not the issue over here. If you bought it to cut cloth, and that's Rav Tashmisho, you actually use it to cut cloth, but one time you want to slice an apple, says Ramah, that's already a problem. So is there a way to reconcile this? How could the Shav Yaakov argue on a Ramah and not tell you that he's arguing on a Ramah? Right? How could the Pischei Tshuva quote such a daya and not say, oh, by the way, this is against the Ramah? So the Aruch HaShulchan discusses this issue. And he says that maybe there's a chiluk. He says, if there's a kli that's clearly not meant for food, the boiler that the Shav Yaakov is talking about, your glasses, someone spoke about, right, mixing the coffee with your glasses, right? So it's clearly not meant for food. That's not what you buy eyeglasses for, to mix your food. So then we go Basarov Tashmisha. The Rov Tashmish of my glasses is to be able to see. Every once in a while, I'll stir the coffee with the arm of my glasses. So that would not require tevila, and that is what the Shav Yaakov is referring to. However, the Ramah is talking about a knife. A knife is fundamentally a klei suda. You just happen to be using it for other things primarily, but it's fundamentally a klei suda. So even if derech arai you use it for suda, it's going to be chayiv in tevila. I mean, obviously, if I buy a klei suda and never use it, so obviously I don't have to tovel I'm never using it, right? There's no requirement to go just be tovel kalim that theoretically could be used for suda. If I buy a fancy set of knives to put in a display case or something, I don't have to tovel them. But once I want to use it at all, since it's fundamentally a klei suda, it's going to require tevila. I was thinking, what if you have like a washing cup? So do we ever use a washing cup for anything but washing? I don't know, you ever like fill up an urn with a washing cup? You know, something like that? Like That's handling water that you're going to drink. That's, you know.
It used to be invented by the urn in the sinks in front of this midrash. That used to be the way, I mean, the washing cups are plastic.
Oh, the way they fill it up is using the washing cups.
Using the washing cups.
Right. So would that require tefillah, according to this Aruch HaShulchan? So Jitaina. So on the one hand, you'll say, you could argue both ways, right? You could say, it's a cup. A cup is a clay suda. And as long as you can use it for anything suda related, it should require tefillah, even just once. On the other hand, you say, it's not a cup, it's a washing cup. You know, it's fundamentally not a clay suda. It's like it's a cup as much as the boiler is a pot. You know, it's and therefore, since it's not a clay suda, even your we go bas a rov tashmisho, and rov tashmisho is washing your hands is not you know to use with food, and therefore should not require a tefillah. Minag is obviously that we assume it doesn't require tefillah. I don't think anyone tovels their washing cups. There is a major issue that the Taz raises in Sivkat and Yud. He writes, and this is going to take us the majority of this year. He writes. That if you buy clay suda, but you don't use them for suda, you use them for schora, use them for business, then it's not going to require tevila. So the question becomes, what if I own a restaurant? So I don't eat in my restaurant. I know how the food is made. I would never eat in my restaurant. But I have patrons who eat in my restaurant all the time. So it's being used for people to eat. But I, the owner of the kelim, never eat from it. What do I use these kelim for? To make money. It's my parnasa to use these kelim. Is that called klei schar? Or I'm a caterer. So I have lots of forks and knives or whatever. So, but I never use them for my own eating. So is that called klei schar? Or is that called klei su'uda? So Taz quotes Ahagos Ashri that klei schar is pater because it's shal biyado. Beis Yosef quotes Ahagos Ashri. If you look at Beis Yosef, he writes, If a Jew buys a kli for schora, and then he sells it to another Jew, the guy who buys it, because the wholesaler, even though the wholesaler is the factory is non-Jewish. If the retailer is a Jew, that kashers the kelim, even though the retailer never tumbled it. Right? Because you're buying it from a Jew. V'dami lahadagos ha-shri b'lachu lachtok v'lo l'tzar chesuda aval medisiyem v'kasu sh'ari sholu b'yado mashma sh'mayu l'kuch b'yado y'chayev t'vila v'imkein huadin b'lokeach m'yom din esay sholu s'chora. He says, but the problem is, the Hagos Ashri explains that the reason why the guy who borrows the kli from the Yisrael does not have to do tefillah is because it's only sha'ul biyado. He's only borrowing it. Meaning, what was the case in Shulchan Aruch? You borrow, a Jew owns a kli that he got from a guy, but he's not using it for klei suda. And then someone else borrows it from that Jew, that someone else doesn't have to do the... that someone else won't have to do the tefillah because it's only sha'ul biyado, it's only bar. But it sounds like if it were bought, that if he buys it, that it would require tefillah. So that's the Hagos Ashri, that the Taz quotes that same Hagos Ashri. So let's say I have a store. Somebody wants to borrow all my kelim for a party he's making, and then he's going to return it. So for me, it's klei schora. I'm selling these kelim. But someone says, you know what? You have all those kelim for sale. I have a great idea. This is like a shtick that people do sometimes. You want to advertise the product that you have. I'm making a chasana. Everyone's going to see. You know, someone in my shul suggested that we should go to one of the local art galleries. I think there's an art gallery on Central Avenue or something. They sell beautiful paintings, whatever. And tell them, look, you want to sell all these beautiful paintings. Why don't you display them in the shul lobby? And then everyone will see them on the way in and out of the shul, you know, so we'll get free, decorating, I guess, you know, having this stuff on the wall, it'll look beautiful, and it will drum up business for you. So someone's going to go to the guy who's got all these kelim that he plans on selling, say, you want to show the world your beautiful silverware, I'll use them at my wedding that I'm making, and then everyone will see it, and we'll use it for the party, and then we'll give it right back to you. So does the guy have to tovel the kelim that he's borrowing? So the Taz says, "V'tzorich lomar, diyesh lo tovel below bracha. You tovel without a bracha." He says, "Hashol kli me Yisrael lachen v'ni l'tzorich su'uda." This exact case, "Yitbalenu below bracha." So if I have to tell them without a bracha when I borrow it to make my chasana, and then the chenveni is going to go and sell it to another Jew, I return it all, I clean it, I return it, he's got it. Now he's going to sell it to another Jew. He better tell that Jew that he's selling it to that it's already been tovled. Oh, but you need to tovel again, but without a bracha, because it was only tovled to be suffik, so maybe that didn't count. But now you have to tovel it, so you got to be you have to tovel it without a bracha. If I borrow from you, I have the same din as you. So the Yosef Adler writes that since if the owner were to use it for a meal, he would need to tovel. The borrower has to tovel as well. The Taz and the Shach though wonder why the Mechaber and the Rama don't bring that halacha from the Yosef Adler. I mean, the Yosef Adler would say you tovel it for sure. The Taz and the Shach say, but yeah, the Mechaber and the Rama don't say that. It implies that the Mechaber and Rama hold it doesn't need tefillah. Mele, it's a suffik, meaning it's a machlok. It's Mechaber and Rama on the one hand versus the Taz and the Shach. B'shem the Yosef Ahedra, on the other hand, do you have to tovel it? And that's why we get to tefillah without a bracha. Pischei Tshuva and Sivkat and Tes quotes a Binas Adam, which is of course the Chachmas Adam, that people rent or borrow kelim from people who are selling those kelim, that even though the Shach and the Taz are choshesh to be machmir, to be tovel without a bracha, since the Ramah doesn't bring it, and the Mechaber doesn't bring it, and Prichadosh disagrees with the Yosef Ahedra, and often it's a shas hadchak, because very often you're making a wedding, you don't have time to go toveling all the kelim, and the kelim, you risk breaking them when you bring them to the mikveh, so that's a risky proposition also. And this is key, the kelim are only glass anyway, so they're only chayiv in tevila midrabanan, so you can be samech on the mechaber Rama, don't do tevila at all. So says the Pischei Tshuva. In the name of the Chachmas Adam. So keep that in mind, right? Keep that Pischei Tshuva in mind. That, what did he say? That when you're dealing with something that's only tevila, only chayiv in tevila midrabanan, even though you're in a situation where it should require a tevila without a bracha, because you have the machlokas, mechaber Rama on the one hand, versus the Shach and the Taz, in the name of the Yosef Adra on the other hand, you could be somich on the mechaber and the Rama that it doesn't require tevila at all, since it's a din derabanan. Yeah, so it sounds like if it's a... Right, it sounds like in a shasadcha, yeah. Now, Beis Yosef points out, as we said, a Jew buys a used knife from a non-Jew to cut cloth, and then lends that knife to another Jew. The second Jew can use the knife for food, because the owner doesn't have to tovel it. Mashma from the Beis Yosef, the same is true if the first Jew bought the kli for commercial purposes, and then lent it to the second Jew. The second Jew doesn't have to tovel it, even if he's using it for food, because the first Jew is not obligated in tevila himself. Now, the Darkei Tshuva in Sivkat and Ayin tells us, based on this Beis Yosef, Vida shenispashi taminug b'kola olam kishenosin b'mesilas habarzel. What's mesilas habarzel? Trains, right? When they travel by train, sheshavin b'chashorin b'chatzar mesilas sheshosin b'chatzar mesilas sheichar omayim. The typo in my notes, that they would drink in the by the train station, Sheikhar Amayim B'tzatzena Shal Baal HaMezag Asher Sham Vein Makvidim Hu Yisrael Alav. They don't care if the owner of the store over there, the coffee shop over there, is Jewish or not. They just use all of the kelim, they drink from it. And he says it's a little bit strange. D'lechareim Hu Yisrael Yesh L'mna'am Yilishtos B'kelev. L'chare, if he's a Jew, you should really be careful. Kivan Sharuban Kukulam him Rekim Bakali Adas. Most of them were not Rekim Bakali Adas. They were not granted the privilege of a yeshiva education. That's a modern Orthodox translation. Gam Kalev Trichan Tvila. Ubavada lo tovala kalim. So for sure he didn't tovel the kalim. Vatam Pashal Lefiani Yostaiti. So what's the hatter? Lefianal, Kivan Shakli Hurak Bisha Ela Itzala Shosa, you're only borrowing it. Ukanal ubeprat the kli zechuches David getvila rak midrabanan. That's only chayvin tefila midrabanan. Kmosh kasam izagam la lan shom prat ufiyani yistaiti bar ki gam balam izagain sarach latvila kelim klal kivin shemetzal rak mitzor schora. The guy who owns the coffee shop doesn't have to tovel, because for him it's kli schora. You're just borrowing it from him. He doesn't have any chiyuv. The guy who owns the shop, he doesn't drink from these kelim. It's only derech harai. Just like a chen v'ni, the kelim in the store are not kelim that are considered klei achil and shtia. So a restaurant owner doesn't have to tovel his kelim, says the Darkei Tshuva, because they're klei schora. And since the owner doesn't have to tovel them, the visitor in the restaurant also doesn't need to tovel them, because he's just borrowing them from the restaurant owner. Meaning, it's exactly the case of the Beis Yosef, right? That's the, against the Yisvet.
It's a bit of an extension, because I'm not selling my kelim, I'm using them for klei kashmish as the owner, I'm not using them for myself.
Ah, so the question is, right, meaning what, it's more than a bit of an extension, meaning, what's the whole assumption of the Darkei Tshuva? That it's called klei schora when I buy kelim to be used as for eating with, right? Meaning, as long as it's under my ownership, they will be used for eating. I'm just not going to be the guy who's eating off of them. But all my guests, all my patrons, all my customers are going to be eating off of them when I own them. I'm buying them to be eaten off of. When I own a store that happens to sell, that sells flatware or something. So I'm not buying it to eat off of it. When it's under my ownership, no one's going to use it to eat. I'm just I'm using it to sell. So Elamai, someone borrows it from me during that time. So Darkei Tshuva takes it the next step, right? And he says that it's still called klei schora, even though it's going to be used to eat from. Rav Avadya and Yechavadas Chelakdalsim Mendalos also make it like this Darkei Tshuva. He writes, "Me'atinir shabal misadash shakelim shemashamish b'mhem l'tzorach halukuchah shalom nechshak l'davar k'misha konosam l'schara v'asoit sham harei him kishu'ulim u'kuschurim b'yado sharash elach l'shuvav l'tvila." That the customers are just borrowing it. Mikivin shalakadim l'tzorach chil v'shtila atzmal b'nei beso el l'tzorach mischar parnasaso. Fine. V'chein pashva minag limkor bakbuk esode umayim mineralim lulo hatvilas kelim me'atam hanal. And he says, and that's why you could buy a glass soda bottle. That's why you could buy a glass soda bottle. Again, there's a big difference. The glass soda bottle is being, you know, is being sold to you, and it's not going to be used for klei suda as long as the person who's selling it owns it. So there's a lot of people that argue and say, no. They say if only allowed klei schora that are set aside to be sold. A Jewish-owned store that sells dishes. A restaurant, the entire purpose of the dish is to be eaten, right? To be eaten on the dish. You're supposed to eat food off the dish. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, "Va'ochel b'malon or b'mesadel chadoma, shein tov l'kleim." You're eating in a hotel, and apparently this was very common, that they had this, that people would eat in hotels, that hotels and caterers did not require tefillas kelim. So if you're eating in such a place, and you trust the kashrus, you just know that they don't do tefillas kelim, and they give you a glass plate, like at a smorgasbord, a glass plate with metal, with meat on the plate. I think we mentioned this the other day. Even though it's for sure a klei suda, a plate is for sure a klei suda, and therefore a plate for sure requires tevila, but you're allowed to eat off of the plate because it's not really doing anything. The plate's not really doing anything for you. Aval b'makom shamachul tzarech la'kli. But if the food needs the kli, the food is not accessible without the kli. Kegon marak u'machalim lachim asu le'echol nimenu b'lo tevila shenach v'klei suda mitzarech u'nitzarech chil b'shas achila. Says Rav Moshe, but if it's a soup and they give it to you in a glass bowl, then you're not allowed to eat it. Because you can't have the soup without the bowl. So Rav Moshe argues on the Darkei Tshuva. He allows you to eat solid foods because of this technical chiddush that he has, because you don't really need the plate. Yeah, okay. But you can't drink the soup without the bowl. I think most hechsherim today do require the merchants to tovel the dishes. If that becomes too complicated, many of them rely on selling kelim to non-Jews in conjunction with the fact that they're klei schora and they use different studim lahakel based on those things. If the restaurant is owned in a partnership with a Jew and a non-Jew, then the kelim don't require tefillah anyway. Sometimes you have like that, based on Yerushalmi. I'm pretty confident that the OU does require the restaurants under their supervision to total all their dishes. When it comes to factories, we'll discuss in a moment, right?
We saw a story in the Mechas Shlomo who said that just like with the electric kalim, it's like one that's rough on a pacha because you can't do it. So to a patron at a restaurant, the restaurant owner won't let you take their kalim and go to over them. So, okay, you can use that.
Yeah, there are other shvaras to be made also if you're a patron at a restaurant, meaning it definitely doesn't asr the food, right? So you have to empty the food off of the plate. You're just doing it slowly as you put it in. Question is to actually take the fork and stick it in the food. Meaning maybe you have to ask for chopsticks or something. I don't know. Because so the plate is one thing, the fork is much harder. So you can say it's anash rachman apatre because I don't know, maybe it tastes that you have to eat there. I don't know. Rav Shechter has a tshuva in the OU documents. Because she irgun ha OU nosim hechshu le, is it? Yeah? Right, but I don't know. Yeah, I hear. I don't know. It seems different to me. I can't put my finger on it right now. So Shechter writes, when the OU nosim hechshu leizim befal Yehudi avorim ha'achalim shalem, when the OU is giving hashkacha to a restaurant or to a factory for their food, ein medaktikim aleihem litvol es kleihem. We're not so careful that they tovel their kelim, ki ein zanogei l'kashrus ha'achalim. It has nothing to do with the kashrus of the food. If they're shomer Torah mitzvahs, tell them you gotta tell them kelim because that's a halacha. Just like you would tell them don't miss mincha, but it's got nothing to do with the food. Aval leidim shomer mitzvahs, tefilas kelim lo chomer me'anachas tefilin shalem asherim mekayim. So the Shachter, if they're not shomer Torah mitzvahs, tefilas kelim has nothing to do with the food. Tefilas kelim was a separate requirement. You have a mitzvah called tefilas kelim. So if the guy didn't put on tefillin, you don't say we're not giving you a hechshu because you're not putting on tefillin. You encourage him to put on tefillin. What's the difference between the factory and the restaurant? In the restaurant, you're eating off of those kelim. In the factory, they're producing the food with those kelim, but the consumer is not going to eat off of those kelim. He says, "V'chelin yishmer Shabbos." In the factory, lo medaktikim b'Shabbos. It's got nothing to do with the kashrus. It's not our business. Just like if the owners of the factory don't put on tefillin, it's not our business. I don't know, maybe the Chabad Ashkachas, they can put on tefillin also. Vayne dafka b'factory. Shemachinim ochel l'mochre wholesale. Aval b'chanus ha'psucha b'shabbos l'mochrim yashar l'konim. But if you have a store that's open on Shabbos, retail, bazal sinu siyag, it's not aser, but we make a siyag. Shedover mos u'mukhur, shenit an ekshar l'chanush u'mukhalim Shabbos v'rasi b'vnei akonim. So that, you won't allow a restaurant to be open on Shabbos. Not allow, obviously we don't allow chil Shabbos, but they won't give ashkach on the food when the restaurant is open on Shabbos. That's appropriate to make a siyag. A lot of people are bothered by that. Why do you have to make such a... There's no such... It doesn't affect the kashrus of the food. The guy's in Mechal Shabbos anyway. Why is that my business? It doesn't affect the kashrus of the food. And they don't like this. But you understand why... Meaning, Rosh Hashanah is saying, because it's a Chil Hashem. You know, big OU on a store that's open on Shabbos. Well, terrible Chil Hashem. That's one of the more sensitive issues in kashrus. Right? Sometimes, like, you have a local community kashrus that's makbid, that the stores that they give ashkacha and shouldn't be open on Shabbos. Certainly, if they're owned by a Jew, that they shouldn't be open on Shabbos. Some of the smaller communities, they can't do that because they won't have any stores. There won't be anywhere to get any food. But you live in Teaneck or the Five Towns or Brooklyn or whatever, you know, in these larger Jews in Los Angeles, larger Jewish communities, it's very easy to be makbid about that. Most of the store owners are from, and you could insist that if you want to run a kosher store here, then it's got to be closed on Shabbos. So some people are very upset. Just because I'm not Shomer Shabbat, it means that my food's not kosher. My food is very kosher.
Is Rav Shechter assuming that there's a mitzvah even if there's no chiyuv to be told about the kelim?
What do you mean?
You say that if they don't tovel the kelim, so it's fine.
Meaning that they have a mitzvah, they have an obligation to tovel their kelim. They do. I think he's saying that he doesn't buy the klei schara thing. He also got Moshe. It's not potter because the klei, they do have to do tefillas kelim. It's just that I'm not going to not give ashkacha because they don't, since it doesn't impact the food. it doesn't make the food non-kosher. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that based on all this, if you buy a gift for somebody, you shouldn't tovel the gift. I mean, if you buy a kli for somebody, don't. Sometimes I got you a gift. Don't worry, I toveled it already. Because he says it's not considered klei suda because you're going to be giving it away. It's more similar to klei schor. It's not exactly klei schor either because you're not making money off it. It's a gift, and therefore it shouldn't require tefillah. Others say no. When you purchase it, you're purchasing it for him, for the friend that you're giving it to. So you could tovel it on his behalf because it already belongs to him. Problem with saying that is if you're doing that, if you're purchasing it for the other guy, then you can't change your mind. That would be stealing. Meaning if when I'm koneh it from the store, I'm zachon ladim shlo b'fanav, and I'm making a kinyan on behalf of the other person, so then if I decide not to give it to him, then it's stealing. Shlomo Zalman says, even in such a case, you shouldn't tovel the kli, because your friend might not like the kli, he'll give it to someone else, and therefore it's klei schara for both of you. But if you buy it on your friend's behalf, and when you give it to your friend, you fill the dish with food, then you can tovel it before you fill it with food, because the moment you give him the dish, he's already using it as klei suda. So, for example, like a lot of times, someone had a baby, let's say, right before I started shiur, I got a text, someone actually had a baby boy. So there's going to be a shalom zachos. So my wife, every time, will bake a whole bunch of cookies, and she'll put it on a nice plate and give it to them. So if we take a glass plate, let's say, and tovel the glass plate and put the cookies on it, so that we could do, because we got the plate for them, we're going to tovel it for them, and they're going to be using it as klei suda right away. Or, another option, you could eat a cookie or two off the plate, so that you use it as klei suda, and then give it away. When it comes to eating at somebody else's house where you know that he doesn't tovel the dishes, so you don't have the kula of the restaurant, because everyone would agree that his dishes are klei suda and chayef in tefillah. And l'chori, you should not be allowed to use the dishes. So, if your Jewish friend didn't tovel his dishes and he now invites you to a kosher meal, you're not really allowed to eat from those dishes, right? That's what most poskim say. Ramesha has that kula, that if it's a dish that you're not really using, right, that you could... Because again, even though Ramesha did not like the idea that, oh, restaurant, it's only klei schora, he'll no, it's klei suda. But a plate doesn't really do anything. But there's still going to be a problem with your fork and your knife and everything else that you actually do need to use. What about the candy dishes in the store? This was, I mentioned to you, this is like a big tumult. You know, the store, the candy store, sometimes they'll put it in a plastic, a plastic container. But you want to go a little fancier, so they'll have metal, I've seen metal ones that have candy in it, and glass dishes that have candy in it. Sometimes that's the whole kunst of the, you get a nicer gift, it's got a nice dish, that it comes in. So the simplest solution to the candy dish problem would seem to be just have the store tovel the kelim before they fill them with food. Problem is, that could be, it might not work because of our halacha here. The Shulchan Aruch here says, you buy kelim to cut cloth with, you're not chayiv to tovel them. And Taz says, because it's klei schor, not klei suda. So for cloth at the store, it's klei schor. They're not allowed to tovel klei schor. It doesn't work to tovel klei schora. So Dayan Weiss in Minchas Yitzchak in Chelak Aleph Sim Mem Dalid, he says that a store can't be tovel. Meaning, you might have argued, yes, they can, they just don't have to. But if they tovel it, that's also tefillah. No, says Dayan Weiss, if there's no chiyuv of tefillah, then the tefillah is invalid. In Chelak Ches Simen Ayin, Dayan Weiss explains that when a kli is pater from the requirement of tefillah's kelim, then toveling it is useless. It's not going to help pater it from further tefillah, because once it becomes a klei suda, it's going to become chayiv in tefillah. So I toveled it when it wasn't chayiv in tefillah, when it was klei schora. So that's nothing. Then it's going to become a klei suda. That generates a chayiv tefillah. It's not the creation of the kli, the production of the kli. It's becoming a klei suda. And it's raya's from the Taz. There's a machlok shishonim if you borrow kelim from a Jewish storekeeper, you have to tovel them. So the Taz recommends tovel without a bracha. But the Taz says that when the storekeeper ultimately sells the utensils, the buyer has to tovel them again, but without a bracha, because you never know. You don't know if it was chayiv in tefillah in the first place. The implication is if the borrower had no obligation when he toveled them, then the next guy who actually buys it does have to tovel them. Why? Why do I have to tovel them when I bought them? The guy who borrowed them first tovel them already. Yeah, but if he tovel them without a chiyuv to tovel them, then it's a zero. It doesn't count as a tevila. So our Taz says Minchas Yitzchak is enough in a raya that a tevila before there's a chiyuv is not a tevila. Meaning, intuitively, it doesn't sound right. Meaning, because when you think of tevila as a metaher, right? When you think of tevila for tahara purposes, you know, the tefillah works. It's a tahara. You know, just because there's no obligation, you know, it doesn't affect the tefillah. But tefillah's kelim is primarily a mitzvah. And it takes from tumas akum, that's only effective once there's an actual chiyuv. I guess if you want to compare it to tahara, it would be like toveling something that's not yet eligible for tefillah. Like, let's say a person is a zav. Bal shtei riyos, so he needs shivinikiyim. So he decides he's going to go to the mikvah on day four. It doesn't work. There's no chiv tvila yet. So you can't just decide to go early. In the Chelkas Yaakov, in Chelk Bein Simon and Zion, Rav Braish says that the store has no responsibility to tovel the kelim that it sells to Jews because the store is only using it as klei schora. However, it might be a violation of the lifnei iver to sell a kli that requires tvila if the guy is not going to tovel it. The average recipient of a gift, even if they're normally very careful about tefillas kelim, may not realize that a dish that's already full with candy is going to require a tefillah. So the store does bear some responsibility for the consumer toveling it. In fact, Rav Shechter and Rav Belsky, in an OU document, they said that the Hashgacha agency cannot, in good conscience, put their seal of approval on a product that the consumer is likely to use without realizing that it requires tevila, meaning that's the tshuva we saw last time, the salt shaker. If it really needs tevila and you think the consumer is not going to do tevila, then it's lifnei iver. You can't sell it to him. Not because the consumer is not really, meaning a religious, well-meaning consumer is not going to do tevila. That's a problem. Rav Asher Weiss in Minchas Asher and Bamidvar Simen Samaches Oz Dalid, he disagrees with the Minchas Yitzhak. He says it's true the store is pater from toveling the kelim because it's klei schara. But it works when they tovel the kelim. He says, you know, better not to because you can't say a bracha on it. But given that the store is selling kelim with food already in them, it may be the best option. Meaning, for lack of a better option, it may be the best option you have available to you. I was listening to Rabbi Reisman. Yes, I don't know how he, I have to look back, see how he addresses the raya from the Taz, right? How could it work before there's a chiyuv?
Unless he holds like the
Israeli. It's hard to say that. Although, generally, when you have Mechaber Amma versus Shach Taz, we pass like Shach Taz. But I don't know, it's hard to say that.
The Shach and Taz
hold back, right? They say below bracha, yeah. Yeah, no, probably it's because he assumes. It's one thing to tovel a kli. It could be in the case of the Taz, when you borrow the kli, so at that point it still may not be called klei suda because I'm only borrowing it. Whereas when a storekeeper is hoping to sell it to be used as klei suda, it could be that he's toveling it on behalf of the people that are going to buy it.
Like a
shlichus kind of thing. Zachal adam shlo b'fana. Maybe. I don't know. Got
to
look at me.
I hope it's reported to me from Shlomo Zalman not to do that because maybe the person
wants the bracha.
Want, like the dish or something, in which case, like.
Right. That's what I mentioned before. If he is interested in giving it away, yeah.
Was the Taz case
no. What do you mean? Was there?
In
the dish when it's being sold, yeah. I mean, that's the assumption. Right, that's... Yeah. Yeah, the question is, still, how does it work? Meaning, it's still klei schor for you, just happen to be putting food in it. So, it's called klei suda because you're filling it with food. You're not going to eat that food. Rabbi Reisman said that in Flappish they didn't know what to do. Because they knew that they had to put a sticker on the kli instructing something. Right? They just weren't sure what to instruct. Meaning... If it's klei schor, then the tefillah shouldn't work for the buyer. So the store tovels it, you can't say tovled, because the buyer still needs to tevel it. You put a sticker that says not tevel, the buyer will tevel with a bracha, and that's a problem also. So he says stores generally don't tevel, so the buyer can tevel with the bracha. Problem is, the buyer is using it up until that point, so you still have that problem. Meaning, until he empties it, he's gonna tevel it. That's a problem. Another kula that you might consider is, it depends where you got the kli from. Maybe you didn't buy the kli from a guy. Maybe you got it from a corporation. And anytime you get it from a corporation, there's another tzad lahakel, right? That's the Sefer Tefilas Kalim quotes on page 64 in my printing, that Ramesha holds that if a Jew does not have a controlling interest in the corporation, even if they're shareholders, then it's considered to be goyim. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says that a corporation is considered an independent entity that's neither Jewish nor Gentile. It's not Jewish or goy. And with the huge nafkamina zalacha, obviously, Chametz Shavuot Pesach being the biggest one. So whether a kli that you buy from a corporation requires tefillah depends on whether the obligation of tefillah is that you're bringing it into Jewish ownership or that you're removing it from Nachri ownership. Because you get it from a corporation, if you hold like Rav Shlomo Zalman, it was never owned by a Nachri. It was just this entity. So is it about me bringing it to Jewish ownership? Kedusha Shol, about the removal of the Nachri ownership. So Rav Shechter paskins that kelim that are bought from a corporation, you certainly should not recite a bracha on the tefillah, because it could be that there's no real requirement when you buy from a kli that was produced by a publicly traded company. And Rav Shechter won't say a bracha on those, you know, on such kelim. So like, that's a lot of things, by the way. Right, meaning there are a lot of big companies that make. I don't know if that's true. Every kli ever buys one. There are people that own factories. There are families that own factories. Now, if you're going to conclude based on everything we said that a nice candy dish requires tevila before you use it. So how can you allow the store to sell glass or metal pre-packed candy dishes? So there are solutions that are suggested, some better than others. One solution that some want to suggest is, okay, just put like a little doily or something on the kli, something a davar mafsik. So the Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Lamed Beis says that any kli that doesn't come in direct contact with food doesn't require tefila. So maybe that would solve the problem. However, in Sefer Tefilas Kelim, in Parak Aleph HaAreh Zayin, he points out that the halacha is not about whether the food actually touches the plate. It's whether the utensil is a klesuda. Part of the definition of klesuda is that it's usually meant to come in direct contact with the food. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted over there that a kli that's primarily used with a plastic partition between the food and the kli, like the milk bag thing in Israel, they don't require tefillah. But a kli that's primarily used with direct contact, just because you're not using it right now with direct contact, that doesn't take away its shame kli suda. If it's a candy dish, it's a candy dish. Because I decided to put a piece of plastic in between, it doesn't take away its status of a candy dish.
Just to clarify, are we talking about from the perspective of the seller, the buyer right now?
So let's assume the seller doesn't have to tovel it because it's kli suda. But how can he sell it to a buyer who's going to eat out of it? Even if he tovels it after the first use, he's eating out of it the whole time.
Why is that different than,
say,
the cans or the
Because the Vardo, by the cans and the Snapple bottles, right? And they're going to be discarded. That's not, you know, they're like a wrapping. They're a packaging. They're not an actual kli over here. This is the acre is really the kli. Right, so that you should say, they should also put a sticker that says tovel. I'm questioning Rabbi Reisman's suggestion. I mean, Rabbi Reisman said, so they put a sticker, needs tevila. But how does it solve the problem about when the first time that he's eating from it? So you say, Ramesha holds that you're allowed to, even if there is a chi of tevila, as long as the kli, but it's jelly beans. It's in a bowl. You need the kli. It's not, it's not the same as soup. But it's something that will get all over the place without a kli.
If he's relying on that star, I think it's the moral disconnect. As you're emptying it, you're eating it.
So that's the star they have to rely on, which is, okay. Another suggestion, something that is that every time they get a new shipment of kelumin, they should have an in-house party in the store. Meaning they'll make candy dishes, and they'll eat from them, and then they'll repack them, so it'll be clay suda. So they'll tovel them, they'll use them, so it'll be clay suda for them. Practically, you know, it's not going to happen ever. Shlomo Zalman in Mincha Shlomo Chel Beis in Samach Vav says that if you never had kavana to be kona the kli, it's considered hefker, and there's no chiyuv tevila. And then once you acquire it, being mafkrid won't help, because when you use the item, it's very clear that you're reacquiring it. So if the customer has in mind not to buy the kli, it doesn't become chayv in tefillas kelim. That's also very practically hard to implement, you know? You can explain to each customer, I know you're buying the kli, but you're not buying the kli, right? You're only buying the food in the kli. Have in mind, you're not acquiring it. And halachically, it's questionable. Can you specifically pay extra for a nicer dish? They're selling the same exact candy in a plastic dish for $12 cheaper, and you're specifically paying extra for the nicer dish. Bring it home, use it like all your other dishes, and claim that you never acquired it. Is that really your das? I don't know. What about having a third party be kona the kelim on behalf of the customer, and then do the tefillas kelim on behalf of the customer? So the problem is, you don't know who the customer is, meaning you don't know who's going to walk in to buy it. So you'd have to rely on breira, which would mean that the kinyan is being made for whoever should choose to buy this kli. So I'm going to have like the mashkiach come, and he'll be kona the kli in advance on behalf of whoever is going to buy it, ultimately pay for it. And then I'll be tovel it for him. Problem is, we generally don't rely on breira for dinim d'araisa, only for dinim d'rabbanan, based on daf lametes. So maybe that works for glass kelim. I don't know. It seems also so odd. So Rav Asher Weiss holds that tevila of klei schora is effective. So if you follow that, then you know, even if we normally wouldn't recommend it. And given the lack of other options, it would seem that Rav Asher Weiss would acknowledge that the store doing the tefillah is probably the best option in the case of a pre-packed candy dish. Minchas Yitzchak? Absolutely not. It doesn't work. We have the taz. It's not going to work. Yeah.
Where's
in the Simon Samaches, I think I said. What did I say? What? You didn't hear what I said?
No, he's not exactly clear why he thinks what he
is. But yeah, you have the Maramakal? You have the Maramakal?
Yeah, it was
Samach Hezdal. Okay, yeah, what does he say? Read it.
Says,
first of all, you can get it on the computer?
Yeah, what's up,
okay. Wait, so you're saying because be'etzem they're klei suda? I understand, but for this person it's klei schora.
Right.
I mean, what does he do with the taz?
I don't know. He doesn't have dress. It might be the common of saying he dresses.
Okay. There's a sefer called Shi'urei Halacha. Someone showed me on Purim. So over there in his discussion with Mishloach Manos, where this comes up a lot, he says that he asked for Shlomo Zalman in a situation that the buyer had paid for the item but hadn't yet done a kinyan on it, can the store do the tevila for the buyer? So Shlomo Zalman said that payment doesn't really affect the kinyan, but it does turn the kli into klei suda. And therefore, as long as he paid in advance, it's enough that you can consider that klei suda, even though he has not yet taken possession of it. He has not become the owner of it. In the Sefer Ola Yishurin, they quote the Ramesha, said that as soon as a buyer expresses clear intent to buy the item, then you could call it klei suda, and it's ready for tevila. Meaning he doesn't actually have to be koneh. So that might be a viable solution, to have the stores offer glass of metal candy dishes with advance orders, or once the item is ordered and payment is made, then the store can tovel the dishes and make up the whole kli, right? Meaning what they could do is like this. Again, also not so shaykh that they're actually going to do this. You could have on a display case what kinds of candy dishes you can make up for a customer. The customer will say, I want that one. So you say, great. You take another kli, not the one off the display case, take another identical kli, tovel it in the mikveh, and then fill the kli. But you have to have a mikveh on premises to do that, otherwise it's also not going to be so practical. Obviously, the easiest solution is to use kli charis and kli eitz, and then you don't have to worry about anything. Or you could fill the kelim with packaged goods, meaning it also doesn't look as pretty, but if you put them in plastic bags, or you fill up with bags of potato chips or something like that, you know, so then that would work also. Rav Shechta said that they do require tefillah even before the first usage, right? Kamavan. That's exactly what you'd expect Rav Shechta to say. And he thought that this was a problem, meaning he did not hold the Marl Diskins slowly emptying it out. It's a real glass kli, just like he was machmer on Snapple bottles and salt shakers, he's going to be machmer on this as well. So that's the issue. So it's a problem. I don't know if there's a pashuta. So when it comes to caterers and restaurants, so I think most caterers and restaurants do tovel the kelim. I think it used to be that it was not something that a lot of hashgacha agencies required. Someone told me that Rabbi Abadi, who has a lot of interesting shitos, chumras and kulas, everyone always knows of his kulas, but he's got a lot of chumras too, when he goes to chasanas, he has a fork and a knife in his pocket. And he, because he's choshes caterers don't tumble the kelim, so he brings his own fork and knife. The problem the caterers run into, and we'll discuss this later, is that a lot of times they say, "Oh, we have tumble the kelim," so they send the nachri to go tumble all the kelim. So that's a problem because he can do it, but he has no nemanus that he did it. Now, the idea of using it, so here's where there's a kula that maybe is useful. Remember we said before, what did we say? That if you have a machlokas between the Yisr v'Heter, that the Shachan Taz quote, and the Mechaber Ramah, and the Pesach said, you have glass kelim that you're borrowing for a simcha that you're making, right? So what do we say? Okay, it's going to be so hard to do it, and it's only in Darabon anyway. It's Machlokas, Mechaber Ramah versus the Yisr v'Heter. You could be something from Mechaber Ramah. But only if it's glass. Why? What does glass do? Makes it a Darabon, right? When I'm eating at a restaurant, and they haven't toveled their kelim, so Rav Meisha has his problem with doing that. You're not allowed to do that, except for unless you say it's big kiddush about a plate, then it doesn't really accomplish anything. But generally, if it's soup, I'm not allowed to do that. Maybe I am. Maybe I could use a soup spoon, metal, everything, for the following reason. Midoraisa, there's a mitzvah of tefillas kelim, right? Midoraisa is a mitzvah of tefillas kelim. The iser to use a kli that's not toveled, is that a dindoraisa? I mean, that I'm not allowed to use a kli that hasn't been toveled. There's no pasuk in the Torah that tells me that. There's a mitzvah to tovel a kli. There's a bir halacha somewhere. I can't find it right now. I couldn't find it this morning. But there's a bir halacha somewhere that says that mistama, that's an issur d'rabbanan. To use a kli. You saw it? Okay. He said, "Mistama, there's nisa d'rabbanan to use a kli that hasn't toveled." So on a daraisa level, tefillas kelim is a mitzvah. It's not a nisa. You only make a nisa on a d'rabbanan level. So since the Pesach Yitzchuv recorded that binas adam to allow borrowing kelim from a person who's using it as klei schora, but when as long as the kelim are glass, you can rely on the mechaber ramah. So if I'm eating at a restaurant, even if the kelim are metal, but all I'm doing is the drabanan, meaning I'm using the kelim. I don't have a chiv tevila.
Wouldn't the bina sodom kufa argue on that side? Meaning, what's the point of toveling the kelim?
Yes, he would. Is it a suffix that I says Miskagel to Zabar? I don't think that's the same as a suffix that I says, because your suffix is whether it's Chayiv and Tefillah in Echinami. That's a suffix whether it's Chayiv and Tefillah in Daraisa level. But that's the suffix in. Also, one second, does this work? Maybe it doesn't work for a different reason, just thinking out loud. The suggestion is that it should be the customer's chiv tevila now, right? Meaning it's his mitzvah, not on a derabbanan level. It's in a chinami. The issue that he's going to be doing of eating out of the kelim without toveling is only derabbanan, but it becomes his mitzvah, midaraisa. Right? So that's why it doesn't work. Meaning, if you hold, no, you hear what I'm saying? If you hold like the Yisra V'Hetir, it's not just that you're not allowed to use the Kalim, it's that it's your mitzvah now, because these are your Klei Suda. Right? That's what the Yisra V'Hetir really holds. So it doesn't work. The whole Svar doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't really work. I think all reliable ashkachas nowadays make people they make the owners tovel the kelim. I've seen caterers at kelim mikvahs. I've seen caterers by the ocean. They just bring massive amounts of kelim.
Meaning, but that one time at the restaurant when I use it, I'm just violating the certain shtamshah. So even if you have the mitzvah mutal on you, but still they're abundant right now, right here and now.
What isra I'm doing? But I'm being mevatel a mitzvah. No, it becomes my mitzvah, I think. Now in Siftas, Shulchan Aruch, let's just talk about Siftas very briefly. He talks about a mashkon that a non-Jew gives to you. The halacha in Siftas means din tefilas kelim is a very easy halacha. Right, mashkon ovid chavim kli li Yisrael, im nir b'das ovid chavim sherotzel l'shakel biyado ton tefilah. If he wants to leave it with you for a long time, it's going to require tefilah. Yeah? I don't know, what do you mean I could do the mitzvah? Meaning, it's hard to understand. It's hard to understand the whole idea of the split between them. Because I could always say that. Meaning, I'm never being mevatel on the mitzvah d'oraisa of tefilas kelim. I could have a kelim all my life, because I could just tovel them, you know, the day before I die.
Yeah.
And up until then, I'm only violating this d'rabbanan. Right? Can that be? You have a mitzvah tefilas kelim midaraisa, and you don't do it. You have
the mitzvah, and you should do it, and you get checked for a daraisa mitzvah. But when you then, if you don't do it, you're violating the tzedurah. Why is that not?
I don't know. It's hard to understand. There's a chiv daraisa to tovel, but there's no such thing as a bittul mitzvah.
What else is the ber halacha
according? That if. You, I don't know, maybe you don't have immediate access to a mikveh or something. So,
well, then you don't have the mitzvah according to the reshet there.
Right, so like that. I don't know, gotta think about that. I don't know. Yeah, it's hard. I'm not sure. Let's think about that. Let's come back to that tomorrow, maybe. Let's give us some time to think about it. You know what? Let me just mention very quickly, just Siftas. Siftas, the halachan tefilas kelim is not a really great chiddush. The chiddush is in the taz. Because what's he talking about? That the guy leaves a mashkon by you, so it's a shayla whether you need to tovel the kli. So if he's going to be, it's going to be shakua biyado, you tovel it. Vim lav, you tovel it below bracha, or you buy another kli with it and tovel it. So the taz is bothered by, what in the world is going on over here? That you're toveling the guy's kli. You know, he talks about Gedevis Das, Gezalakum. The reason you told him that in Bracha, Tas says, is either because it's Suffolk, whether he plans to leave it by you, or maybe it's a Suffolk he does plan on leaving it by you, but it's Suffolk in Halacha, whether that's considered yours or not, fine. That's in Hilchas Mashkon. But the Tas points out that the discussion of toveling a Mashkon that the Nachri is going to want back is very troubling. Mistam, I don't have the right to tovel it. He didn't. It's a Mashkon. He didn't tell me I could tovel it. So there's a Halacha that Gezalakum is for sure Aser, right? There's only Machlokas as Daraisa Darabatan, but Gezalakum is definitely Aser. But if I owe money to a Nachri, and he forgot about it, and he never asked for it back, and I'm pretty sure he forgot that I owe him the money, that's called Hafkas Halvasa. Hafkas Halvasa is Mutter. I borrowed money from him, and he never asked for it back. What's the lumdus for why Hafkas Halvasa is Mutter? So this is a non-Tvila Skelemish, which just comes up right here in the Taz. What's the lumdus why Hafkas Halvasa is Mutter? So two possibilities. One possibility is that milvah lo tzadnin, that the reason I have to give back the nachri, whatever I stole from him, is because it's his. I have his stuff. And when something is his, I'm not allowed to take it from him. But if he lent me money, I have nothing that's his. Milvah lo tzadnin, and he lent me money, I'm supposed to use that money. Elamai, there's a shibud that I have to pay back. So that shibud is only by Yisrael, that shibud is not by a nachri. Meaning, it's like any other mitzvah on the chavero that doesn't apply to a nachri. So there's a chiddush on the pasuk that there's an issur of gezel akum, but there's no shibud that's created necessarily. The second possibility is the Tumim points out that gezel is when you take something from somebody's hand, but whenever it's be'atera asliyadeh, it's mutter. When I got it be'isur, that's gezel. That you're not allowed to do from a nachri. But if it was be'atera asliyadeh and then later circumstances changed and now it became problematic, so that's mutter. So the first shita is lo tzadnin, the second shita be'atera asliyadeh. Nafkamina, mashkon. A mashkon is not lo tzadnin, so it still belongs to him, but it was be'atera asliyadeh. He gave it to me as a mashkon. So they bring this sif as a raya to the tumim. Right? Because you see, the fact that I'm allowed to go and tovel it must mean that even though normally you're not allowed to steal from a guy, how can I tovel without permission? Elamai, be'atera asliyadeh. There's another halach in Ibn Ezer about if you're Mekadesh Nisha with the Mashkon of Inachri, that she's Mekadesha, so it's not considered Gezalakum. Right? So, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. So, why? Because Vete Ras Liyadeh. Aye, but it's not Lotza Nitna. Yeah, but it's Vete Ras Liyadeh. It's a riot to the tomb. The Bach over there argues, says even if you're allowed to use it, you shouldn't be able to be Mekadesh Nisha with it because it's not Lechem. It has to belong to you in order to be Mekadesh Nisha with it. Unless you say, no, but you tell her, it's not mine, but I'm being Mekadesh you with the Hishtamshus of this Mashkel, with the rights of Hishtamshus. And that's where the Shabbat put it. So that's why this Taz is important over here, this Halacha and Sif, meaning it never comes, you don't get Mashkonos so much that you want a Tovel or whatever. That's Chosh Mishpat Sugya. It's important for the Chosh Mishpat Shabbat. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow, I do plan on actually finally getting to fixing Kalim and Uman Konim B'Shvach Kli, another Chosh Mishpat Sugya, and electrical appliances and the like. Okay? Have a great day, everybody.